The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
So I remember this one time Neil went for an eye test and I was sat in the room as he was getting it done. And at one point, I think the receptionist called in to ask the optician something.
Yeah.
So she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll be back in a minute. She walked out the door. Neil lifted that thing like away from his face, you know, the big fucking magnifying yoke, whatever you call it. And he leaned forward to look at the...
I got up out of the chair.
To look at the thing on the wall that, you know, like the test. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm getting the answers. I'm like, what do you mean you're getting the answers? You're about to pay a few hundred quid for glasses.
Yeah.
And now they're not going to be correct. Because you're not being honest about the capability of your eyesight.
But, yeah.
I don't want to lose. That doesn't make any sense. The fuck is wrong with you?
Look, it doesn't make sense now, but at the time, I thought it made sense.
It absolutely did not. It does not. It will not.
I didn't want glasses.
But you needed them. I mean, that's one of the most absolutely outrageous things I've ever witnessed in my life. Like, how dare you?
I think what's even better is when I got halfway through it, I'd forgotten.
Like, what the fuck?
Can't you remember? She said, right, can you... she came back in and she said, right, can you read the letters on the wall, and confidently I was reading them out as if I could see them, and then it got to the point where I couldn't remember them, so then I was actually really trying to fucking see them.
You infuriate me.
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
it's never a dull day.
Never.
so what? Need wood.
What?
Because we spoke...
Jinx.
You can't just say jinx.
Yes, I can.
No. Jinx, touch wood.
I've
this is a fun
it.
Podcast.
Hey, Murderitas. I'm Danica.
And I'm Shannon.
We are the mother-daughter hosts of Murder and Mimosas,
a true crime podcast that strives to focus on lesser-known cases.
We personally think these episodes go down a little bit better with a mimosa.
You sip, we share.
So grab yours and get ready, because every Saturday at brunch time is a new episode.
You can listen to us on any podcast platform.
So today we're going to cover a mass murder, and it is the case of Richard Speck. Are you familiar?
No. Should I?
I'd say it's a big enough one. Yeah.
How long ago was it?
It happened in the 60s.
I weren't alive then.
So, Richard Benjamin Speck was born on the 6th of December in 1941, and that was in Kirkwood, Illinois. And he was the seventh. Fuck me.
That was very Irish.
He was the seventh. Oh, Jesus. And he was the seventh of eight children born to parents Benjamin Franklin Speck and Mary Margaret Carber. And his father, he worked as a packer at a Western Stoneware. And his mother, I don't think she worked. I just saw her described as a religious teetotaler.
That's all you could find on her?
Yeah, I don't think she worked. I think she was maybe staying home. Well, I mean, she probably had to be, eight kids. She was busy.
She was probably fucking disabled.
She was probably absolutely wrecked. So in 1947, when Richard was just 6 years old, his father died of a heart attack at the age of 53. And it was said that this greatly upset him. They were said to have had a very close bond. So definitely made an impact on Richard.
Yeah.
Now, Richard's mother, she would go on to remarry 3 years later. And that was on the 10th of May, 1950. His new stepfather, Carl August Rudolf Lindbergh.
What?
That was his full name.
Say that again.
Carl August Rudolf Lindbergh.
Is he taking the piss? I'd love to see his signature.
Well, he was a travelling insurance salesman, so he probably had to sign a lot of documents. So,
like, can you imagine the length of his business card would be the length of a fucking ruler.
If anyone's seen Kevin and Perry Go Large, it was in the movie, wasn't it? Kevin gets asked to sign something from a delivery guy and he signs his name and he like whips it round over and over again to take over all other slots on the page. So that's what Carl did.
Yeah.
He went around just pissing off delivery men. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So his stepfather was said to have been a heavy drinker and he also had an extensive criminal record.
So he was a bit different to the father.
He was a bit of a devil, yeah. And like you said, he's a bit different to the father figure he was used to. And Richard was said to have not liked his stepfather. His stepfather was said to have been absent a lot. And when he was there, he would just be drunk and abusive.
You don't mean that.
You absolutely don't. So after his mother had remarried, Richard and his sister Carolyn, they would stay with his older sister Sarah while he finished second grade. They would then move and join his mother and stepfather in Santo, Texas. And I assume that's where the stepfather was from. When the mother had met him, it was on a train. You know, presumably he was travelling for work.
Yeah.
Being a travelling salesman.
Ah, so it's part of it then?
Which means part of it.
Travelling salesman. He's going to fucking travel.
He's going to travel, yeah. And in the space of 12 years, the family would actually move home 10 times.
What? What?
Yeah, a lot of travelling. There's a lot of back and forth in the story for Richard. So all the different areas they end up moving to, they were all low-income areas. They would eventually stay in Dallas. In 1952, Richard's eldest brother, Robert, died. He was only 23 years old, and his death was the result of a car accident. Not long after his brother's death, Richard would begin drinking. And by the time he was 15 years old, it had become a daily occurrence in his life.
What, so at 15 would he have been classed as an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Or dependent, like?
From the sounds of it, yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. Sounds Irish.
So along with alcohol starting to become a bit of an issue in his life, he was also starting to struggle academically. He was failing all of his subjects and he would end up dropping out of school at the age of 16.
Well, he were going to fail all his subjects. He were always pissed.
Yeah. It's hard to concentrate, you know. I can't say anything. I left school at 16, so no judgment there.
Well, I'm British, so I finished school at 16.
Yeah, I've never understood that.
I could have stayed on for an extra year or gone to college.
We've talked about that before because on one side of the argument, I kind of look at it as, You know, I hated school. If I could have been done at 16, would have loved it.
Yeah.
But the other side of it for me is like, you're expecting a 16-year-old to make decisions about what they want to do next in life. They're 16.
Let me try and think. I'd say it were about year 9. So I would have been 14. Is that right? 14? 13? 13 or 14.
What, like aptitude test or something?
No, they'd ask you what you want to do. And
but you mean like optional subjects? Because we do that over here as
no,
well.
No, they'd send you to a business to work.
Work experience.
Yeah.
Okay.
So even at 13, 14, they were like, what would you like to do? And me, I went panel beater and painter.
That's quite intense. That's very young.
Yeah. But then, yeah, like you said, leaving school at 16, you're supposed to know what you want to do.
But it's about, I mean, you can always change, but...
I think, don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure I heard somewhere, but they're on about changing the UK schooling system to 18, you finish school. I'm sure I heard that somewhere.
Yeah. As far as I'm aware, it's the most common. Like in majority of countries, it's 18, as far as I'm aware. So getting back to Richard, at this stage, it had been a tough few years for poor old Richie. His father had died, his brother had also died, and from the sounds of it, his mother had married a right arsehole.
Yeah.
He also doesn't seem to have any stability in terms of a solid home base. You know, he's also dropped out after struggling in school and he's now an alcoholic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you said about him moving how many times?
10 times. In the space of 12 years, they had moved home 10 times.
Yeah. So he had no mates, because any mates he made, they moved and he had to start over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty tough.
Yeah. So moving on a few years, now in 1960, Richard was working at a bottling factory for 7-Up. And he would work there for 3 years. Now, in 1961, Richard, now 19, he met a 15-year-old by the name of Shirley Annette Malone. Now, after only a few weeks of dating, Shirley fell pregnant.
Wait, a few weeks?
A few weeks, yeah. So...
I'm sensing there could be an issue with that. How rapid that would have to be for you to think, I need to take a test to find out if I'm pregnant?
Mm.
3 weeks? Like, what's the average?
Let's say a few weeks.
Yeah, a few weeks. So that's 3 weeks.
Well, it's just a few weeks of dating, so maybe beforehand they've been fucking. So with them now expecting a baby, Richard and Shirley would marry only a few months later.
I thought she was 15.
Yeah, she was.
How do you get married?
I'm pretty sure you can get married if your parent or guardian agrees to it, as far as I know.
What? I never knew that.
Yeah. Now, again, this is 1961. It could have changed since then, you know.
Yeah.
I think in Ireland, if you're 16 and over, with parents' permission, you can get married.
That's insane.
I think it's the same in the UK.
That's insane.
The couple moved in with his sister, Carolyn, and her husband. And now separated from the stepfather, Richard's mother was also living there. On the 5th of July, 1962, Richard and Shirley's daughter, Robbie Lynn Speck, was born. So, you know, he's now married, he's got a daughter. You'd think, you know, it's going good.
He's still an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought you was going to say everything's fine and dandy.
But you think
he's still an alcoholic.
He's still an alcoholic, but you think, you know, maybe there's some good in his life. You know.
Yeah, at least he's got some sort of stability. Like,
yeah, but that's what you think, but you would be wrong.
okay.
Richard wasn't actually around for the birth of his daughter. He was currently serving a 22-day sentence for disturbing the peace after boxing the head off someone.
Sounds like yourself.
It was actually worded as a drunken fight, but I thought boxing the head off someone sounded funnier.
Yeah, sounds like yourself.
Well, you know, maybe there was a bit of Irish in him. Now, in July 1963, Richard was convicted of both forgery and burglary. Now, what he had done was forged and cashed a co-worker's paycheck for the amount of $44.
In the 60s? So that's...
Yes.
Do you know what that would be in today's money?
Let me check.
I think it'd be a fair bit.
Yeah, so if you were to convert that to today's money, it's like a week's pay. It's, I think, as far as I make out, it's about $450. So he's being a bit of a devil.
Yeah.
Now, as for the burglary, from a supermarket, he stole cigarettes, beer, and $3, which is roughly $30 worth today. For this, he was sentenced to 3 years in prison.
Fuck!
What do you mean, fuck? Forgery and robbery.
Yeah, but it weren't armed robbery.
No, it wasn't, but he's still being a bit of a devil. But yeah, no, he was sentenced to 3 years in prison, but he was released on parole in 1965 after serving 16 months in the Texas State Penitentiary. So again, you'd kind of think, you know, he's kind of got off a bit easy there. 16 yeah. months, yeah. you know, also he's got his daughter. You'd think he's delighted to see her. No, he was back inside within a week's time.
Within a week?
Yeah, for fuck's sake, Richard, come on. So, he was arrested on the 9th of September, 1965. Neil, care to venture, I guess? We've had disturbing the peace, we've had forgery, or we've had burglary.
Right, so we've had fighting, forgery, burglary.
Smoking, drinking, and fighting.
Indecent exposure, he got his lad out.
No. In the car park of an apartment building, he attacked a woman with a 17-inch carving knife.
Well, that's escalated.
That a little bit, just a tad. So he just ran. She started screaming and he just legged it, right? The police arrived shortly after the incident had taken place and they found Richard not far from the scene. So after that arrest, Richard was convicted of aggravated assault and sentenced to 16 months along with the sentence for violating the conditions of his parole.
See, that I have an issue with. So, forgery and burglary, he was sentenced to 3 years and he served 16 months. And then how long after? How long was he out?
A week.
A week. So, a week later, he attacks a woman with a knife and he yes. gets 16 months.
Yeah, I do agree with you there. That's a little bit off. You know, especially with priors. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And it's not like it's a different state, different county. It's the same place, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, he was sentenced to 16 months along with the sentence for violating conditions of his parole. But due to someone's fuck up, it was some kind of error in the paperwork. He was released on the 2nd of July, 1965, after just 6 months.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, so he just served the sentence for violating his parole. Now, after his release, Richard got a job as a delivery driver. But he was sacked after 3 months. He had had 6 accidents in the company truck and also didn't bother showing up for work. Now, he wasn't actually sacked for the accidents in the company vehicle.
I was going to say, he definitely weren't a good driver.
Yeah. But no, they weren't bothered about that. It was just because he didn't show up for work. That was like, no, how you're 1 foot over the line, Richard.
I think the best excuse I've ever heard for someone not showing up to work was,
I can't come in. I'm still pissed.
I'm still pissed.
Yeah. Now, that was someone we worked with. How he got away with it, I will never know.
Well, the best thing is, the place we work, that's where he got pissed.
Yes.
He was there until the place closed.
Yes.
And he was supposed to be in at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
The next morning. And he rang up and went, I can't come in. I'm still pissed. And he still works there.
It's insane. There's no words. There's really not.
If I was the manager who answered that phone, I'd be like, are you taking the piss?
Honestly.
Like, is it April Fool's?
Yeah.
What is...
So by January 1966, his wife, who he was already separated from at this point, she filed for divorce. And she would go on to remarry 2 days after she was granted the divorce.
Oh, that weren't planned then.
Yeah, but you know, they're already separated. Maybe it was like, they've already kind of moved on.
That's why the divorce happened, so she could get remarried. Yeah,
I'd say so. So at this point, now separated, Richard had moved in with a 29-year-old woman, and she was an ex-professional wrestler who now worked as a bartender at his favourite bar, Ginny's Lounge.
You don't want to be going at her with a knife.
Now, as far as I know, it wasn't a romantic relationship. It was more of an arrangement. She would give him a place to stay and he would babysit her 3 children in return.
What is... We've only just covered Ed Gein and you told me people were letting him babysit.
Yeah.
But the big difference is, Ed Gein, they just saw as, he's a little bit slow. You know, it's a little bit odd.
He's harmless.
But he's harmless.
Yeah.
This cunt, hang on. I don't know if this fucker has been in prison multiple times. Attack him with a knife.
Yeah. Drunken fights.
Boxing the head off someone.
That was the official charge, yeah.
Like, and is an alcoholic.
Yes. So, keeping with what you're saying now, at the same bar where she worked, Richard stabbed a man with a knife and was charged with aggravated assault.
For fuck's sake.
But, okay, Neil, his charges were reduced to disturbing the peace. All right.
What?
Yeah. Here's the kicker. You ready for this one? So like I said, his charges were reduced to disturbing the peace and he was given a $10 fine, but he was jailed for 3 days because he failed to pay his fine. Yeah. I'm guessing it was like, fuck off, I'm not paying it. Like, he's been in and out that many times, he's probably like, 3 days, little breakaway.
What's another stint?
Yeah. I miss the lads. Miss the crack with the lads.
Ah, God. And $10 would be like, what? $3
would be enough.
Did you say $3 were like 40?
30, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so $10, yeah.
So in March 1966, Richard robbed a shop, stealing 70 cartons of cigarettes, which he would then sell on.
This guy's just taking the piss.
He is. So I'd heard of Richard Speck, the mass murderer. Yeah.
I just completely forgot. You told me at the beginning, this is a mass murder.
Yes.
How much fucking shit does he do before this mass murder?
Right. Okay. I started looking into this episode and I was like I said, Richard Speck, he was a mass murderer. It's going to be an episode about, you know, surrounding one night.
Yeah.
The one incident.
Yeah.
No, I was very wrong. He's got a lot of shit in his backstory. You okay?
Yeah, it's just...
I know, there's so much.
Right, all seriousness, I'm not doing this for acting. I couldn't tell you how many charges he's had so far.
I know. Seriously, when I was researching this, I was just like, he travels back and forth a lot. He's in and out of prison. There's a lot going on.
I hope the listeners can follow this because, like, it's a lot to follow.
It is.
Charges, where he's moved to.
Yes.
Facts of people who've died around him and left him. And
yeah. There's so much in this case.
The fact that he was an alcoholic at 15. But he's taking the piss.
So the police were able to trace the car that Richard had used. And it turned out he'd only bought it the day before on the 8th of March, and the police would issue a warrant for Richard's arrest. Now, they weren't able to get him, though, because the next day, Richard's sister, Carolyn, drove him to the bus station where he set off for Chicago.
Yeah. Moving again.
I know.
Right, I fuck that state up.
Yeah. Right, lads, where to next?
On to the next one.
Yeah.
I'll try again.
So now back in Illinois, he would stay with his sister Martha, and she was a registered nurse. Her husband Gene, he was a railroad switchman, and they also had 2 teenage daughters. Now, Richard, he wouldn't stay there for long, only for a few days before he returned to his hometown of Monmouth. And while there, his brother Howard, who was a carpenter, was able to get Richard a job working with another carpenter sanding plasterboard.
Okay. Steady job.
Yeah. And around this time, he was living in the Christie Hotel and spending the majority of his time in bars.
Go away. Hi.
Well, you know what we say, Neil? He was a slave to the drink.
Yeah, slave to the drink.
Now, one night while out drinking with his friends, Richard was detained after reportedly threatening a man with a knife in the bathroom of a bar. Although I don't think anything really came of it.
Why would it?
it was noted, but it was, well, it kind of just follows his pattern, but it wasn't another, he didn't catch another charge, so.
Okay.
On the 3rd of April, Richard entered the house of a 65-year-old woman, Mrs. Virgil Harris. She had gotten home at around 1 a.m. after spending the evening babysitting to find Richard stood there holding a knife.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah. She described him as very polite and spoke very softly with a southern drawl. He blindfolded her, tied her up, and raped her.
Well, that fucking took a turn. He was polite.
That's just how she, like, I'm guessing while he was doing these things, like, you know, when she entered,
yeah,
he was like, I assume explaining, I'm just going to sit you down here. I'm going to, like, that's how I envisioned it from how calmly she seemed to speak about it.
Is this the guy you told me once about a guy who, I don't know if he raped women, once he'd got a woman, his hand grazed a tit and he apologised.
No, that was Edmund Kemper.
Oh, okay. I don't know who that one is.
He also stole various items from her home, as well as the $2.50 she had earned from babysitting that night.
And he should know how hard babysitting is.
You know what? Three kids he had to take care of.
Yeah. Well, how would he feel if someone came in and took his...
How would you like it, Richard? On the 9th of April at around 12:20 a.m, a 32-year-old woman named Mary Catherine Pierce was last seen leaving her brother-in-law's bar, Frank's Place, where she also worked. On the 13th of April, her body was found in an empty hog house behind the bar. Her cause of death was said to have been from a blow to her abdomen that ruptured her liver.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Now, Richard was often seen at Frank's Place, and he'd also helped build the hog house months before. On the 15th of April, police would informally question Richard about the death of Mary Catherine Pierce and asked him not to travel out of town for the time being. But, you know Richie. He gets a bit restless.
Fucking Richie.
So, when police showed up to his hotel on the 19th of April, Richard had already fucked off. He was gone.
Fuck's sake.
Only a few hours earlier, Richard had took his suitcase and left. And he told people he was just going to laundromat. Now, when police searched his room, they found a radio and also costume jewellery belonging to Mrs. Virgil Harris, as well as other items reported missing from two separate burglaries in the last few months.
So he's been up to his old tricks with burglary as well.
Yeah, it was just Richard being Richard.
I've just remembered again, we're still not even at the mass murder.
No, we still got a little bit to go.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah, Richard is quite a backstory. So after that close call, Richard headed back to Chicago to his sister Martha's home. Now, like you said, he's back and forth all over the gaff.
Don't his family member, like, so when he's going back to a family member,
mm-hmm.
aren't they going, why can't you sit still?
Have you got
worms?
Yes, exactly. So like I said, he's back and forth. So he's now back at Martha's home. And very shortly after arriving back in Chicago, Richard's brother-in-law, Gene, suggested that Richard apply for the US Merchant Marines. So obviously at this point, Martha and Gene are like, get it together. Like, pull your fucking socks up. Come on. So on the 25th of April, Jean took Richard to the US Coast Guard's office to apply for a letter of authority to work as an apprentice seaman. Now, this process included a physical exam by a doctor, as well as being photographed and fingerprinted.
Ah, it's fucked.
Well, just they're on file there now, aren't they?
Well, he's obviously not going to pass a medical. He'll have been pissed when he went for the fucking exam.
Well, he must have passed anyway, because he started working pretty much instantly, joining a crew of 33 others. Now, Richard's first venture didn't last long. It started on the 30th of April, and on the 3rd of May, he had to be evacuated by helicopter to St. Joseph's Hospital in Michigan. And that was for an emergency appendectomy.
That appendix?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got one what's not his fault.
It's not his fault. No, can't help that. But it is just another thing, another back and forth with Richard. Once Richard was discharged from the hospital, he returned to Martha's home in Chicago to recover following his surgery. Like, you know, Martha's just like, this fucking guy. Like,
she, you know what she kept thinking? Mm. This is fucking Groundhog Day. Yeah. He just won't fuck off.
So once Richard had recovered, he returned to work on the 20th of May. This stint would last until the 14th of June. Do you want to place your bet what went wrong this time?
Who was he decked? He's knocked someone out. I was wrong when I said he got his lad out. I'm going to play it safe. He's boxed someone. He's beat someone up.
Richard had gotten drunk, and after an altercation with one of the boat's officers, he was put ashore the following day. They're already like, get the fuck off. Right, we're done. He's acting the bollocks nail. So after he was fucked off the boat, Richard would stay in a DOS house. And if you're not familiar, it's just very low cost accommodation. Usually with shared bathrooms.
And yeah, and they're usually like... What we class as like a hostel.
Kind of like a hostel, but I think it was cheaper than that. Again, it was like...
You can't get cheaper than a hostel.
So that was in Chicago, and he stayed there for about a week before catching a train to Michigan.
What's Michigan done to him?
The reason he travelled to Michigan was to visit Judy. It was a friend of his. She was a 28-year-old nurse who he had become friends with during his stay at St. Joseph's Hospital. And Judy seemed to be a very sweet person. To take him in after just, you know, caring for him for a while in the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, she also gave Richard $80 to support himself until he found work. So Judy's a saint. We love Judy.
Yeah.
So after his little visit with Judy, Richard traveled back to Chicago again to stay with Martha. To stay with Martha again.
Right. Do you know if I was
Martha
her?
Again?
Right. Do you know if I was Jean? We're fucking moving.
Yeah.
Don't forward the address. I fucking had it up to here with this shit.
They did seem to be really good to him, though. Like, they took him in after, you know, his surgery to recover, and even, like, getting him, like, trying to be like, right, come on, get up, let's go, we're going to bring you down, you know what I mean?
I don't condone murder. But if you was going to twist this case to... He's not the killer. They
Gene.
Are. They was like, we're fucking killing him.
Even when it was Richard, I knew it was Gene.
Like, I bet they've had it up to here. I obviously don't know who Martha and Gene are.
He's a messer, like.
But I can feel their frustration.
Yes. I know, can't
you? You haven't said they're frustrated.
No. They seem to be absolutely lovely to him. They seem to really, like, want the best for him. But fucking Richard can't just get it together. So on the 30th of June, Jean brought Richard to the NMU, which is the National Maritime Union, and that was to apply for a seaman card.
He's fucking shipping him off again.
Fuck off. Now, about a week later, Richard returned to the NMU to collect his seaman's card and register for a placement. But he would miss out someone with a little bit more seniority to him.
Okay. That happens. Did he take this well?
Happens to the best of us. Now, by the 11th of July, Richard had outstayed his welcome at his sister's house.
No shit. Yeah.
Fuck's sake. After this, Richard stayed the night in a rooming house, and the following day, Richard received an assignment, which was about 30 minutes' drive away. But unfortunately, when he arrived there, his spot had already been taken. So he was driven back to the NMU, which by this time was now closed for the day.
Fuck.
Like, jeez, the amount of back and forth.
He was used to it.
I suppose, yeah. He's a well-travelled man. So at this stage, Richard didn't have enough money to pay for accommodation. So he just found an unfinished home and slept there for the night. So I think we're going to leave it there for part one. We're starting to kind of come to the end of Richard's backstory, and we're starting to, you know, get a bit closer to the murders.
Yeah.
And yeah, next episode, we're going to get into that and obviously his trial and a little bit about the victims.
Because yeah, he's been through the wars so far.
This is a lot of back and forth. I hope I did a good enough job that people can follow it fluidly. There's so much.
I don't think it matters how well you tell it. It is a head scratcher.
Yeah.
You're forgetting where, hang on, has it been there before?
Yeah.
Like,
where's Waldo?
I know Martha. You said Martha quite a few times.
Yeah. But I think before we go, we'll do a little oddity.
As always.
As always. Now, Gavin and Stacey.
I know it well.
Yeah.
TV show.
Yeah. It's I don't watch it, but it's a very, very loved show. It's very well known.
Yeah, it's okay.
You ever notice anything about the character names in it? Because you did watch it. You were a fan.
Yeah, I know it well. There was Gavin, Stacey. All right, I can't actually think of any other names. Shit.
Smithy. That was one, wasn't it?
Smithy.
It was James Corden's character in it anyway. Yeah. That fella.
Yeah. Yeah, my favourite scene in it is the takeaway. Mm-hmm. And he's like, have you been eyeing up my booners? I bet you are. that one's fucking gold.
But what I was going to say to you, it's not so much about, you know, the first names. They're surnames.
I don't think they ever say the surnames. Not what I can remember.
Okay, well, Gavin's second name is Shipman. Stacey's second name is West, and there's also Peter and Dawn Sutcliffe. I don't know who those characters are.
Peter and Dawn?
Yeah, they were friends parents.
Yeah, Gavin's parents. I don't know if they were neighbours or they were just friends of Gavin's parents. There was a couple.
Yeah, well, probably have them. You noticed something about their names?
Wait, so West...
West, Shipman, and Sutcliffe.
Oh, the serial killers?
Yes.
That's fucked.
Show writers James Corden and Ruth Jones named the characters after notorious serial killers, Fred and Rose West, Peter Sutcliffe, and Harold Shipman. And they did this as just a little nod to the darker side of humour.
Right. I can't stand James Corden, but that's brilliant.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of his, but I that like is especially. Brilliant. A show like Gavin and Stacey, where it's kind of like just like something that's like fun, easy to watch.
Yeah.
And then these two little shits snuck in this like real sinister side to it just for the crack.
I can't think. Like, obviously I didn't notice because I didn't even know the surnames.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Isn't it? Yeah, I thought it was
I've made myself look a fool. You know, I'm there saying, oh yeah, Gavin and Stacey, I know it well. And you went, what are the names? Gavin, Stacey. That's me done.
I'm out. Well, yeah, there you go.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks for that.
Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.